طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, today this is our session number 25. I'm reading from the wrong paper here. Session 25. Naam. Session number 25. And today, inshallah, we're supposed to be reading lessons 49, 50, and 51. And if time allows, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, if we have sufficient time, may Allah facilitate for us our affair. Maybe we'll complete the final remaining lessons as well. These lessons, unlike the first five lessons, are very, very short. In lesson 44 and 45, we dealt with yani the words that end with fatatain, tanween. And in lesson 46 and 47, we dealt with the same rule, but with alif maqsura. And in lesson 48, we dealt with hamzatul wasl, and the difference between hamzatul wasl and hamzatul qat. Each of those lessons have some fine point and principle that is of great importance. And today, inshallah, we're going to take the lessons that remain, five rules, inshallah. All of them are relatively brief, very, very small points that shouldn't take a lot of time. And perhaps we may be able to complete all of them instead of just three of them. We'll see yani what Allah facilitates for us. We're going to need, though, your attention and to be focused so that you will understand clearly what I have written in the notes and what is in the book, yani what has been written in the lesson. These lessons are, as I said, relatively brief and simple. And I think, inshallah, you will not find any difficulty with any of them. Yeah. Okay, so what I'm going to do is, everybody should have a set of these notes, the notes that we made, yani giving some examples or further clarification of the rule that's in each lesson from the last 10 lessons, the special rules for reading Quran, found in the last 10 chapters. This is the attendance sheet. If anybody here didn't sign, anybody here right now didn't sign? Yeah. And if somebody can hold it, or when you finish with it, put it on a chair over there, so that if anybody comes in, inshallah, it'll be available for them. Huh?
Sorry, sir.
No problem. Hold on. I wrote my notes on this. You have the book, the primer?
Yeah.
You got the book with you, I mean?
Okay, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, here. Wa
iyyakum.
Jamil, mashallah. Jamil, that's Jamil, mashallah. Jazakallah khair. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to explain the rule to you in brief, and then I'm going to read the notes as well, in case there's anything in the notes that's not clear to you. But I'm going to explain the rule in the simplest fashion possible, and then I'm going to read the note to you. 48, 49. Okay, we're going to read from lesson 49, from the notes, the explanatory notes, lesson 49, which in the original textbook is on page 94, okay? So please try to pay attention to the book. We're going to come to the book after I explain it to you and give you, yani, and read to you the notes, inshallah. We're going to start with lesson 49, which in our textbook is on page 94. In the textbook, it's on page 94. Okay, so that's where we're going to start. And please try to stay with me so that nobody gets lost in the explanation. Okay, if you look at the, before I explain to you, if you just look at the, make sure you're on the right page. If you look at the textbook, lesson 49 on page 94, at the top of the page it says new element, the Aleph, is omitted in writing with certain frequently used words. For example, on the top of the page in that box, okay, in the box, not in the line one with the examples, but in the box for lesson 49, from left to right, it has the word ilahun. And then they show you how it's pronounced, ilahun. And they have thalika, and they show you how it's pronounced, and hadha, and hadhihi, and lakinna. Okay? So, these are examples of words in which an alif is omitted in writing. It's not written there, but you have to read it. You have to pronounce it. Okay? These are words in Arabic language. They are not thousands or hundreds of words, but there are certain words in Arabic language which are very frequently used. So instead of writing the aleph, they abbreviated it. They didn't write the aleph, but you have to know, you have to remember that in this word there's an aleph there that's not written, it must be read. Okay? So for example, I don't know, I might do this a little bit differently. For example, on that page 94, the first word that they have is the word ilahun. Ilahun. This word is actually pronounced as though it's Hamza with Kasra, Lam with Fatta, followed by an Aleph. That Aleph is not written in the word ilahun, but it's as though there's an Aleph there. That's how you're going to read it. You're going to read it as though there's an Aleph in this word. So you're going to read it ilahun, even though when you look at it, it looks like it's ilahun. But there's a long vowel here. The Aleph is not written, but you have to pronounce it. Okay, you have to know that that word, that's how it is. There's only a few words in the Arabic language like this, but you have to memorize when you come to them. The second word in the book, it's line one, it's the only line for lesson 49, is the word thalika. Thalika is written with thal, fatta, lam, kasra, kaf, fatta, like thalika. But it's pronounced as though it's thal, fatta, aleph. Thalika. That's how it's pronounced. Thalika. And the same thing with hadha. It's written ha, fatta, thou, fatta, aleph, as though it's ha, tha. But actually it's pronounced ha, fatta, aleph. Thou, fatta, aleph, with two long vowels, hadha. The same thing with the fourth word, hadhihi. It's written ha, fatta, thou, kasra, ha, kasra, as though it's ha-thi-hi. But actually it's pronounced ha-thi-hi. Yani ha, fatta, aleph. Elongation. Thou, kasra, ha, kasra, ha-thi-hi. And the same thing with the word lakinna. Yani it's written lam, fatta, kaf, kasra, noon with shadda, and fatta. It looks like it should be pronounced lakinna. But actually it's pronounced lakinna. Lam, fatta, aleph. This aleph is not written, but you have to pronounce it. Lakinna. Okay, so these are five words which are very frequently used in the Arabic language. And because of that, they have decided that this aleph, which you must read, even though they don't write it, you have to read it, you have to pronounce it. You have to pronounce it, ilahun, thalika, hadha, hadhihi, and lakinna. You have to pronounce it like that, even though the aleph is not written. Okay, any question? I think that that's simple, right? These are words that are in Arabic language. You're going to see them all the time. You just have to memorize them. That this word, even though there's no aleph there, you have to pronounce it. Now, yeah, there's a certain amount. I don't know how many there are, but they're not many. There are very few, inshallah. There are very few. I mean, there are thousands and thousands of words in Arabic language, right? Maybe these are just a handful of words. Okay, from my notes, what I wrote here, just a brief comment on this lesson. Yani, lesson 49, which is in the textbook on page 94. If somebody comes in to pray, please make some space in the front so that they can pray there. Okay, it says, explanation. This lesson deals with the aleph, which is not written in certain frequently used Arabic words. For example, the examples that we just read. ذَلِكَ هَذَا هَذِهِ لَكِنَّ and إِلَاهُنْ. This aleph, though omitted in writing, though you don't write it, it must be read and pronounced as though it is actually written. The words in which this rule is applied are few in number, and they are fixed. They already decide which words they are. They are not many, but whatever they have decided that this rule is applicable to, that's what it is. We must write these particular words without the aleph. It would be incorrect to write ذَلِكَ with ذَلْ فَتَّ aleph. Writing the aleph is incorrect. You don't write it like that in Arabic, okay? So we must write these words without the aleph. And we must not apply this rule to words of our own choice. Yani, I don't feel like writing an aleph in a word, so I just leave it out. No, it's not like that. Okay? The ones that they apply it to are the ones that we apply it to, and we don't go outside of that. In the next lesson, 50, we will see the opposite rule. Opposite rule. That is, words in which a wow or an aleph, and I have in brackets, or ya, because there's also words in with ya, but it's not in this lesson. The opposite rule in which what? There are words in which a wow or an aleph, or even a ya, will be written, but not pronounced. Words in which this extra letter, aleph, wow, or ya, may be written in the word. That's how they decided to do it, but it's not pronounced. Okay, any question about the first lesson, lesson 49? These are words in which there's an aleph written. I mean, not written, it is pronounced. It is to be read, but it's not written. It's not there. You have to memorize these words. Whenever you see one of those words, you have to remember that you have to make that elongation of the fatha, as though there's an aleph, even though there's no aleph there. The next lesson, lesson 50, is in our textbook on page 95. At the top of the page, in the textbook, it says, new element, certain words are written with extra letters, which are not pronounced. Those letters are written, but they are not pronounced. And they gave us three examples, ulu, uli, and ulaika. In these words, the wow in these three words, the wow, the first wow in these three words is not pronounced. Note that in ulaika, the aleph has been omitted after the lam. In the word ulaika, this word here, this word ulaika, there's no aleph after the lam. Yani, because that's like the rule that we just had in the previous lesson in that particular word. Okay, that's an aleph that is not written, but it has to be pronounced. Notice that the aleph here has been omitted. The actual form of the word should be, yani, hamza, dhamma, lam, fatha, aleph, ulaika. It should be pronounced as though it's hamza, dhamma, lam, fatha, aleph. Yani hamza with kasra and kaf with fatha. That's how this word here should be written, as though there's an aleph here. Okay, let me just put it here in case you forget later on. Just as though there's an aleph here. You're going to pronounce it as though there's an aleph here, even though, yani, we're not going to write it. Okay, so then it says in the word mi'atun, this last word here, the word mi'atun, the last word on this page, the aleph is not pronounced. Its actual form is mim, kasra, hamza, fatha, ta, marbuta. Mi'a, or mi'atun. Okay, that's what they wrote in the note in the book. Now I'm going to go just to my notes and yani add a couple of points to it, okay, to what they said here, and then we'll look at these words. But before we look at the notes, I just want to say, right, if you look at these words that they have here in the book, ulu, uli, ulaika, and mia. Four words. Ulu has a wow after the hamza and dhamma. It has a wow. This wow is written, it is not pronounced. The same thing with uli. It has a wow after the hamza with dhamma. This wow is written, it's not pronounced. You don't pronounce it uli. No, you pronounce it uli. As though this is a short vowel. Uli. And the same thing here. Ulu. This one, ulaika, yani hamza with dhamma followed by wow. This wow is written in the word. It is not pronounced. You don't pronounce it ooh. You pronounce it ooh. Ula. Here the aleph is not written in ulaika, but it is pronounced. Okay, so this wow should not be pronounced, and this aleph, which we don't write, should be pronounced. So it's short, and then it's long. Ulaika. And in this final word, mia, this aleph here, and it should be a mim with kesra, followed by an aleph, followed by hamza with fatha, and followed by tarmabuta. This word is pronounced as though the aleph is not there. It's written, but it's not pronounced. Okay, so it's pronounced mi-a-tun, mi-a-tun, or mi-a. Alright, these are the examples that they gave us for the second rule. What's the second rule? Words that have letters which are written but not pronounced. The opposite of the first one. The first rule, they are words that have letters which are not written but you pronounce them. Here you have letters which are written but you do not pronounce them. And likewise, similarly to the previous rule, yani, this is something that, yani, you just memorize these words. There's no yani guideline to say if a word is written like this or if certain vowels come with, no. You just memorize the few words in which this rule is applicable. Okay, I wrote in my notes for lesson 50, which in our textbook is on page 95. In my notes, I wrote explanation. Certain words in the Arabic language are written with extra letters which are not pronounced. Okay, in this case, we had examples of a wow in three words. A wow in three words that's written but not pronounced. And we have one case of an aleph that is written but it's not pronounced. That's how the Arabs decided in their language that this word mia, they wrote it like this. Today in some Arab countries, they just left out the aleph. They just started writing without the aleph. But in any case, that's how it's originally written. Okay? And it's still written like that in many places. Some countries use it, some countries don't. Okay, certain words in Arabic language are written with extra letters which are not pronounced. For example, in the following words, the colored letter. Okay, in the PDF file that I sent you, it was colored. But here, maybe I will print out, it's not colored, right? In any case, the letter wow, which is in the beginning of these first three words, the letter wow is not pronounced. So this word, ulu, even though it has a wow there, is pronounced as though it's just hamza with dhamma without the wow. Short vowel and then long vowel. Ulu. If you want to try to find this word for homework, look in the Quran. It's written in the notes here in the second surah, ayah 269. Or in the Quran in the 13th surah, ayah 19. The second word, uli, is actually pronounced, even though there's a wow there, it's pronounced as though it's just hamza with dhamma without the wow. Uli, as a short vowel and then a long vowel. If you want to look for an example of this, in the Quran, in the 4th surah, 59th ayat, and in the 3rd surah, 190th ayat, if you can go back and look for those places and see if you can find the word in the Mus'haf. The third word, ulaika, it has a wow after the dhamma on the hamza. It is actually pronounced as though there's no wow there. It's pronounced as though it's a short vowel dhamma, followed by a lam, that with a fatha that's elongated, even though that aleph is not following the fatha, it's as though, you have to read it as though it's there. So you have to read it as a short vowel and then a long vowel. Even though originally it looks like there's a long vowel and then a short vowel, it's the opposite. Okay, it's not ulaika, it's ulaika. If you want to look for examples of this in the Quran, you can find in the 98th surah 6th ayat and 98th surah 7th ayat. The last word, ulaika, the last word, ulaika, now. In this particular case, these words are going to be written, yani, here, in the word ulaika, you're talking about specifically, the aleph is not going to be written. Okay, because this is the rule of what? A letter that is pronounced but not written. Okay, the wow is the rule of a letter that's written but not pronounced. But the aleph in this word, ulaika, it is not going to be written, but you have to pronounce it. You have to remember, you have to know that this word is pronounced with the elongation of the fatha on the lam. Ulaika. You're not going to see it in the Mus'haf written. What you're going to see is a straight up little line that they call in English dagger aleph. I need to help people to remember that there's a long vowel there. But originally it's not written with that. Okay, because there are no vowels written in the Mus'haf originally, right? So that is not there, but they wrote it there to help people to remember. They wrote it there to help people to remember. Note, in addition to the wow, which is written but not pronounced in the above word, ulaika, there's also an aleph, which is pronounced though not written. Hence, both rules from lesson 49 and 50 are applicable to this word, ulaika. The last word in this lesson, mia, in the following word, the colored letter aleph, after the meme with kasra, the letter aleph, after the meme with kasra, is written in this word, though it is not pronounced. The word mia, yani with meme, kasra, aleph, hamza, fatta, ta, marbuta, is actually pronounced as though it's just meme with hamza, with fatta, and ta, marbuta. Mi-a or mi-atun. If you stop, it is pronounced mi-a. Yani, if you stop or pause on it, that's because of what? Words that end with termabuta. If you stop on it, pronounce it like ha. And it's pronounced mi-atun if you continue reading. And this is the rule that we studied previously. For examples of this, you can see in the Quran, 8th surah, 65th ayat, and 8th surah, 66th ayat. Now, I hope. I hope. طيب. Oh yeah. Okay, the last note, right? This is not like from the book itself, but just a note to help you in your, if a person is reading Quran, note in the Mus'haf of Medina. I said the Mus'haf of Medina. That's printed in the Mujammal Malik Fahd, the Medina. Yani the printing press of Medina. The way they printed the Mus'haf, in that Mus'haf, there's a slightly slanted zero. Yani a zero, but it's slightly slanted, written above one of the weak letters. The weak letters are called in Arabic huruf illa. The huruf illa, they are the letters aleph, waw, or ya. This slightly slanted zero written above one of these letters, aleph, waw, or ya, indicates that this word is written with an extra letter, yani an extra aleph, an extra waw, or an extra ya, which is neither pronounced when you stop or pause on it, nor when you continue reading. Okay? That means that there are some letters that have not a slanted zero, but a regular zero written over it. That's telling you that if you stop on it, you read it one way. If you pause, you read it. I mean, if you stop or pause, you read it one way. If you continue reading a different way. Not so this one. If you see the slightly slanted zero above an aleph, waw, or ya in the Medina Mus'haf, it means that that letter is never going to be pronounced. No matter if you stop or pause, or if you continue reading. That's particular to the Medina Mus'haf, which is most common that we are yani using here. But maybe you might come across a different Mus'haf, you won't find it like that. Okay, that's lesson 50. That is certain words in Arabic language which are written with extra letters that are not pronounced. Extra letters that are not pronounced. Okay, the next lesson is on page 96. On page 96 of our textbook, lesson 51. Now,
No,
no. It's not related to what letters is between or what vowels is before. It's just certain words they have identified. This is how they're going to read them. Okay, they're going to write it like this, and they're going to read it like this. Okay, there's no rule to know, yani, when you see it in a certain place, that this is how, no, there's no rule. You just have to memorize these words. It's just memorization. Okay, there are not many words, but you have to memorize them. Now, it will remind you of what?
To make the vowel sound that it goes on the humza, the number, but not for long.
I don't know if that would help you to remember, because in some words, the humza is going to have a vowel sound, and it's going to be followed by a vowel that you're going to pronounce. And in other words, it's going to be followed by a vowel you're not going to pronounce. It's going to look exactly the same. But it's just certain words you have to memorize. This is how the rule is.
Now, the
sound doesn't have a C. The sound of the vowel is not going to be elongated by wow. Dhamma is followed by wow for elongation. In these words, it's not going to be elongation. It's just going to be pronounced as a short vowel.
And then the vowel will not have a vowel too? Like
the vowel will not have a vowel. If the vowel has a vowel, that means it's a consonant. That's completely different altogether. So that's completely different altogether. Allahu alam. However many they are, you're going to learn them when you came to them. It's not going to be a problem. It's not like you're going to memorize 150 words. No, it's a handful of words. When you know them, you know them. That's the end of it. It's not a problem at all. No. I don't think so. Wallahu musta'an. I don't know. Hold on. Let me just make sure. Okay, yes, I do. Matter of fact. And I wasn't going to bring these with me either. Tayyib. Fikum barakallah. Okay, let's turn to page 96, lesson 51. At the top of the page it says, new element. In the word Allahu and in the word Lillahi, the aleph is not written. The actual forms of these words are like this, okay? Let's look at the top of the page, in the box at the top of the page, and notice that this word Allahu and this word Lillahi is written as though the second lam that has shadda and fatta is written as though the fatta is elongated by an aleph. It's written as though it's Allahu. And this word is written as though the second lam that has shadda and fatta is followed by an aleph, as though it is Lillahi. Okay? That aleph here is not actually written, but it must be pronounced. Okay, this is the first part of this particular lesson that you need to know, that this word, Allah, the love of Al-Jalal. Can somebody get the paper from the sisters, if there's a question from them? The love of Al-Jalal, Allah. This word, and if it has the preposition lam before it, Lillah. These two words, yani this is really one word. It's just the word Allah, and it has a preposition before it, Lillah. Written like in the Mus'haf. Naam, yani, is it written like this? Yes, it's written like this in the Mus'haf. Hamza, the word ulaik is written in the Mus'haf with Hamza on top of Aleph. The vowel is Dhamma, followed by Wow. It has a slightly slanted zero on top of it. Followed by Lam with Hamza with Kasra and Kaf with Fatta. Naam. No, because it's slanted. And it's not a circle, and plus in the Mus'haf Medina, the sukun is not written as a circle, as it is in our book. It's not written as a circle. Well, yeah. Okay, so the first part of this rule is what? Is that the word Allah, yani, the second lam with the shadda, has a fatta that should be elongated, even though we don't write the aleph after it. Okay? And the same thing, if it has the preposition li before it, yani, the same thing, it's also pronounced as though the lam with the shadda, the fatta is elongated by aleph, even though the aleph is not written. This is the first part of the rule. The second part of the rule is, if you noticed, the difference in the pronunciation of the word Allah and the word Lillah. Lillah, not Lillah. It's Allah and it's Lillah. Okay, like you say, Bismillah. You don't say Bismillah. That's wrong. You don't say Fi Sabilillah. You say Fi Sabilillah. Bismillah. Alhamdulillah. Not Alhamdulillah. Okay, so there's a difference in the pronunciation of the lam in the lafz al-jalala, Allah. In this word, the lam is pronounced yani with tafkheem, that means it's pronounced full mouth, heavy, Allah, if it's preceded by a letter that has fatha or dhamma. If it's preceded by a letter that has kasra, it's pronounced with farqiq, that is pronounced light. Okay, that's why you say alhamdulillahi, because preceded by kasra. Fi sabili lahi, because preceded by kasra. Okay, Bismillahi, because it's preceded by Kasra. Okay, this is the rule of Tafkheem, it's pronounced heavy, full mouth, Allah. Like, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. Huh? Fi dinillah. Naam. Okay? So, inshallah, we're going to look at that in the notes, but I just want to point that out to you. The second thing, on the second line, it has La ilaha illallah. What I want to note about this shahadatain, La ilaha illallah, I just want to note that in this kalima, La ilaha, here we have the word ilah. It's not written with aleph, but it should be pronounced long. Ilah. And then we have illa Allah. Yani here, we're going to come to this rule afterwards. And here, the rule here that I want to point that we're going to come to later on is that there's a long vowel here. Yani in illa. Yani it's hamza with kasra, lam with shadda, fatta elongated by aleph. But this elongation, because it's followed by hamza til wasl, yani in the love del jalala, because it's followed by hamza til wasl, the elongation is not going to be, there's not going to be elongation, it's going to be pronounced short. The second thing is in Muhammadur Rasulullah, even though it's written Muhammadun Rasulullah, but it's pronounced as though the second dhamma is not there. It's pronounced as though it's just dhamma followed by ra in Rasulullah with shadda. This is the rule that's related to words that end with tanween or noon with sukoon. If they follow by certain letters, there's a special rule for them. Okay, in tajweed, you're going to learn those rules. It's in reference to what? It's the rule of tanween, as it is in here, Muhammadur Rasulullah. We don't say Muhammadun, dun, with noon, Rasulullah. We say Muhammadur Rasulullah. Okay, this is the rule that's related to words in the Arabic language. In the Quran, you'll learn this rule when you study tajweed. It's called the rule of noon, sakina, and tanween. A word that ends with a noon with sukoon or ends with a tanween. Because tanween means noon with sukoon. You pronounce it, the vowel, with a noon with sukoon. Okay, there are four rules, and the rule here for this one is idgham. Okay? There's idha, there's ikhfa, there's idgham, and there's iqlab. You learn that in tajweed if you haven't already learned it. Anyway, the point is here, in this lesson, they wanted to point this out to us, that this tanween, the noon is not going to be pronounced. You're not going to say Muhammadun, but rather certain letters, if the tanween is followed by certain letters, the rule is idgham. It means you merge the sound of the noon into the first letter of the word following it, and you double that letter. So you're going to double the ra of Rasulullah. Instead of saying Muhammadun, you're going to say Muhammadur. Okay, so that's just yani a passing point. It's not specifically yani related to the love of the Jalala, but it's like, anyway, they brought it here for whatever reason. They wanted to point out this rule. I'm not exactly sure. Now,
but it ends with kasra. But
it says, what ends with kasra? Say it, read the ayat again. Rasulullah. Not Rasulillah. No, it's not kasra, it's dhamma.
But we say law over there, it's not that, right?
Yeah, because if the love of the Jalal is preceded by fatta or dhamma, you pronounce it heavy. Rasulullah. Because it's preceded by dhamma or fatha. If it's preceded by kasra, then it's light. It's tarqiq. Okay, we're going to look at the rule here, right now, anyway. Wa iyyakum. Okay, look, at the notes that we have for lesson 51. Lesson 51 in our book is on page 96. In the explanation it says, in the words Allahu and Lillahi, an aleph is omitted in writing. These words are to be pronounced as though the aleph is written. Okay? You pronounce it the way it's written here in the notes, as though there's an aleph there. Allahu or Lillahi. It should be Lillahi. There's a dhamma there. Should be Lillahi. These two words follow the rule we learned in lesson 49. Yani, of letters that are not written, but you have to pronounce them. Dealing with the aleph. In certain frequently used Arabic words, this aleph which is pronounced, though not written. Okay? So this rule we already had. Now they're just applying it to a special word in the Arabic language, the lafz al-jalala, that refers to Allah, the Majestic. That word is a word in which the aleph is not going to be written, but you have to pronounce it. So it's following the rule from lesson 49. As far as the sound of how you pronounce this word, that's what's written here in the notes, tafkim and tarqiq. The lam in the expression, in the love of al-Jalala, Allahu, the lam is usually pronounced heavy with a full mouth. This is known as tafkim in the study of tajweed. The rule of tafkim is applied to the love of al-Jalala, Allah, whenever this expression is preceded by fatha vowel, a fatha vowel, or a dhamma vowel. As in the 112th surah of the Quran, ayah 1 and 2, Qul huwallahu ahad. Okay, you see that the love of Jalala Allahu is preceded by the word huwa. That means that a fatha is preceding the word, that means it's pronounced heavy, tafkhim. Qul huwallahu ahad. Allahu, heavy, samad. Likewise, the example of it being preceded by Dhamma in the 110th surah, first ayat, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ يعني the love of the Jalala is preceded by the word نَصْرُ which ends with Dhamma. So when the love of the Jalala is preceded by Dhamma, it's pronounced also heavy with tafkhim in the same way if it's preceded by Fatha. On the other hand, the lam in the expression, yani it should be written here, this Arabic word is wrong here, it should be lillahi. Yani it should be lam, lam, ha. Should be lillahi. On the other hand, the lam in the expression lillahi is pronounced light, not heavy, light, with an empty mouth. This is known as taraqiq in the study of tajweed. The rule of taraqiq is applied whenever the expression, the love of the Jalala, is preceded by a kasra vowel, as in the following examples that we mentioned already, Bismillah. Okay, the love of the Jalala is preceded by the meem with kasra. Bismillahi. Fi sabilillahi. Here, the love of the Jalala is preceded by kasra. In the word sabil, the lam has kasra, so you pronounce it light. Fi sabilillahi. And the last example, alhamdu lillahi. Again, it's preceded by kasra, so it's pronounced light. This is called tarqiq. Any question about this? Yes. Naam. Naam. They omitted it. It doesn't have to be written. Okay. Yani, I wrote it here. No. Sometimes it will be written.
No.
In the Mus'haf, it will be written.
No.
In the Mus'haf, it will be written to remind you that letter is going to be doubled instead of whatever was before it, of the Noon, Sakin, and Tanween. That's to remind you that the Shadda is telling you, originally the word Rasul doesn't have any Shadda.
No.
But if the Shadda is written there, that's because they're telling you the Noon before it is going to be merged into it. Instead of pronouncing the Noon, you're going to pronounce that letter,
no.
Ra, or whatever letter it is. Okay, if it's not there, once you learn the rule, you're going to automatically apply it. The last thing at the end here, Hanam. I hope I have a copy for Jamil. Why not? How can Jamil not get a copy? Jamil. Okay, the last thing is. In this expression, the kalima, yani shahadatain, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Note, Muhammadun Rasulullah is actually pronounced Muhammadur Rasulullah. With the noon in Muhammadun, in the tanween, is assimilated, is merged into the ra of Rasul. This is known in the study of tajweed as idgham, idgham. And it is one of the four rules related to tanween, words that end with tanween, and noon with sukoon. Words that end with noon as sakina. Okay, this is the end of lesson 51. The rule here in lesson 51 is specifically related to the word, to the love of the Jalala Allah. That it's not written with an aleph that you have to pronounce when you read it. And the second part of the rule that we want to make note of here is that this word, when it's preceded by kasra, it's going to be pronounced light. Yani as in alhamdulillahi. If it's preceded by fatha or dhamma, it's going to be pronounced heavy, as in idha jaa nasrullah, like this. Okay, in lesson 52, this is actually an advanced rule that's not for your level, most of you, but if you already studied book 1 or book 2, then this rule will be helpful to you. Okay, otherwise, when you came to it, in book 1 we're going to study past tense verbs, in book 2 we're going to study present tense verbs. This rule is applicable primarily. And all the examples they gave here is in reference to verbs. All the examples they gave here are either past tense verbs or present tense verbs or command form verbs, imperative form. Okay? But it's all verbs, okay? If you look at the top of page 52, lesson 52, page 97, it says new element. In words ending in the pronoun wow. They say the pronoun wow because in the verb, right, the fa'il in the verb, if it's attached to the verb, as you, those who have studied past and present tense verb, then we know that this wow in these words is actually the pronoun. It's the fa'il that's connected to the verb. So it says here, in words ending with the pronoun wow, an aleph is written but not pronounced. For example, in the verb katabu, meaning they wrote. It is pronounced katabu, the aleph is written, it must be written, but it's not pronounced. Okay? Okay, so what I'm going to do now, I'm just going to read through these words, and I'm just going to remind you a little bit about maybe their meaning or something, and what type of verb it is, and then we're going to read the notes for it, okay? So if we're looking at page 97, lesson 52, all of these words end with a wow that's followed by an aleph. The wow is actually the fa'il, the pronoun of the one who's doing the action, okay? The aleph is just written there to separate the wow at the end of that verb from anything that follows it. Okay, that wow is not to be pronounced. Line 1 has the word katabu. The aleph is not pronounced. Katabu means? They wrote. Past tense, yani third person, masculine plural. Hum katabu. Same thing, dakhalu is written with an aleph that's not pronounced. Yani it's the third person, masculine plural, meaning hum dakhalu, they entered. An yakhruju. An yakhruju, yani means? It's present tense verb. Going out. Yani they going out. Yani they are going out. An yakhruju. Yani here, the original form of the verb is hum yakhrujuna. With a noon on the end instead of an aleph. But the noon is omitted because the n, the particle n, makes it mansub, and the sign that is mansub is the omission of the noon. In its place they put aleph to separate the wow from whatever follows it. Don't worry about the details of that. What's important is that this is a present tense verb. It's a present tense verb. It's third person, masculine plural, hum, and the aleph at the end is not pronounced. That's what's important. On the second line we have the word usjudu. That's a command form verb. It means, it's a command to prostrate. Okay, it's like you're speaking to a group of men and you say, three or four, usjudu, yani prostrate, lillahi. Naam, usjudu. Here, the form of this verb, the ending of it, the wow, yani is protected from whatever may follow it, is protected by the aleph which is not pronounced. The next word that comes after that is lam yas'alu. Lam yas'alu. The original form of this verb, it's a present tense verb, mudari verb. The original form of it is yas'aluna. But because of lam, the lam makes it
mansub.
Mansub? Lam?
Majzum.
Thank you. Lam makes it majzum. And the sign that it's majzum is the omission of its noon. Yes, aluna. The noon is omitted because it became majzum by lam. In order to protect the wow from whatever may follow it, they add this aleph which is not pronounced. So you pronounce it what? How do you pronounce it?
Lam
yas'alu. And in the third line, they give us one final example. Len yas'alu means to ask. They're asking, yani means here, because of lam, they did not ask. And the third line, lam yajlisu, again, the original verb. It's a mudari verb. It's originally yajlisuna. Yani hum yajlisuna. Third person, masculine plural, hum يجلسون because of the particle لن making it
منصوب.
The sign that is منصوب is the omission of its نون and the ألف is placed here what to protect the واو from whatever may follow in it. لن يجلسوا. They will never sit. Okay, these are the words in this lesson. Let's go back and read the note for lesson 52. Let's read the note for lesson 52. The note for lesson 52 says, lesson 52, page 97 in our textbook, explanation. Certain verb forms in the Arabic language are written with an extra aleph at the end of the word, which is not pronounced. We had this rule before, right? A letter that's written that's not pronounced. But this here they're telling us that certain verb forms, this is going to be the norm. You're going to always see this aleph in these verb forms. Okay? The following three types of verb forms are examples of this rule. They're not the only ones that it's going to occur in, but these are the most common examples that you're going to find. The first type of verb where you're going to find this aleph written after the waw is the third person masculine plural, meaning hum, they. Okay, third person, masculine plural, past tense verb, fi'l madi. They did something like katabu, they wrote. Dakhalu, they entered. Kharaju, they went out. Akalu, they ate. Sa'alu, they asked. Jalasu, they sat. In each of these past tense, third person, masculine plural forms of the verb, the aleph must be written. The aleph must be written, unless you add something as a suffix to that word. If it ends on waw, you have to add this aleph. The second type of verb in which this aleph is going to be written, but it's not going to be pronounced, is third person, masculine plural again, but not past tense, present tense verbs. That is, they are doing something. Okay? When is this aleph is going to be written, this type of verb? Whenever it follows the particles. Len, or lem, or en. Yani when the en is preceding the mudari verb of the third person masculine plural, when it's preceded by en, or it's preceded by lem, or it's preceded by len, then what's going to happen is the en, the lem, and the len is going to make that form of the mudari verb. It's going to make it mansub, or it's going to make it majzum, and it's going to remove its noon, and then the aleph is going to be written there. As in, from right to left, yuriduna an yakhruju. They want to go out. An yakhruju. Here, the aleph is written, not pronounced. Lam yas'alu. They did not ask. Okay, here, again, the aleph is written, it is not pronounced. And len yajlisu. They will never sit. Yani, in this form of the verb, we're going to see the aleph written, but not pronounced. The third common form of the verb in which this aleph is going to be written but not pronounced is the second person masculine plural command form, fi'l amra. Second person masculine plural means antum. When you're speaking to a group of men in the plural form, you all. For example, usjudu means that you all must prostrate. Ukhruju, go out. Udkhulu, enter. Ijlisu, sit. Ishrabu, drink. Note, in all of the above verb forms, an aleph is written at the end of the verb, but is not pronounced. What's the point here? The point is, this is a rule that we had, yani in the beginning, that there are certain words in which there's a letter written, but it is not pronounced, okay? Specifically, this is very common in these three types of verb forms. Yani third person, masculine, plural, past tense, third person, masculine, plural, present tense, and second person, masculine, plural, command form. And these forms of the verb, when you study them in book one and in book two, you'll see that this aleph is going to be written here. It's not pronounced. Now, mansub and majzum, those are cases, yani, mansub is a case, yani, in terms of the i'rab of nouns or verbs. Yani it's the accusative case, and majzum, yani it's specific, yani particular to verbs. Yani noun, it's not applicable to nouns because nouns are majroor, but they're not majzum. Verbs are majzum. Yani it means that when the verb has something acting upon it, it's going to change its case from being, for example, a nominative case or accusative case, and the case changes, right? So this is one of the cases that is particular to verbs. Okay, actually right now, I'm looking at the time.
In our explanation notes, they didn't write masculine plural. They just invited plural.
In for what? Third person, masculine plural. Third person, masculine plural. Second person, masculine. You don't have, it doesn't say
that?
Maybe, this might be a copy from last year when we were doing this course, and I may have modified it. Oh yeah, I see. Yeah, third person. So it probably was, these were probably from original notes that I had from last year. These forms, that the examples they gave us are all masculine verb forms. Past tense, present tense, and command form. But look, it's not important. It's not important that it's third person, second person, masculine, feminine, plural. That's not important. What's important is that there are certain verb forms where this is very common. When you study those verb forms, you keep this rule in mind. Okay? All you have to know now is that when you see that aleph following the waw, don't pronounce the aleph. That's all you need to know for now. When you study the verb forms, then it will make more sense to you. Right now, it's you're not familiar with it, okay? All right. Okay, listen. We have one more lesson. I know what time it is. I'm looking at my watch in front of me.
You gotta take the time, but we started like 10 minutes late.
We gotta take our time because we started 10 minutes late. Okay, so we gotta get those 10 minutes back, inshallah. Okay, the last rule, the fifth rule, which is the last rule of these lessons, lesson 53, is a very simple rule. Probably some of you are already familiar with it, because I mentioned it 100 times. Well, I won't say 100 times, I wasn't counting. Maybe it was more than 100 times. A lot of times I mentioned it. Okay, this is a very simple rule, but it's a very important rule. You need to learn it well. It says on page 98, this lesson is on page 98 and 99. Lesson 53, new element. A long vowel followed by Hamzatul Wasl. Hamzatul Wasl, right? We know what Hamzatul Wasl is, right? It's the Hamza that's written in the beginning of a word because that word begins with a sukoon. And you can't pronounce a word beginning with sukoon, so they add a Hamzatul Wasl, which might have a fatha, kasra, or dhamma, depending on what kind of word it is. Whenever you see a long vowel followed by a Hamzatul Wasl, that long vowel is going to be shortened in pronunciation. For example, ma ismuka is pronounced masmuka. Yani ma mim fatta alif is not going to be pronounced long. You're not going to say masmuka, but rather you're going to pronounce it short as though the alif is not there. Masmuka. Okay, what is the rule? Anytime a long vowel, whether it's fatta followed by alif, kasra followed by ya, or dhamma followed by wow, doesn't matter. Anytime you see a long vowel followed by a word that begins with Hamzatul Wasl, the long vowel is going to be pronounced short. That's it. Alright, let's look at some examples here. On line 1 it has ma followed by Hamzatul Wasl. So it's going to be pronounced how? Mes. Not mas. Mes. Mesmuka. The second word, yani you have fatta, ba, fatta, ka, fatta, alif maksura. That's a long A, alif maksura, right? So it's baka, but baka is followed by Hamzatul Wasl. So it's going to be pronounced? Bakab. It's going to be pronounced? Bakabni. Bakabni. Line 2. We have fa kasra ya. That's a long vowel. Fi al bait. Yani fi followed by Hamzatul Wasl. So instead of pronouncing it fi al bait, we're going to pronounce it how? Fil baiti. Silbaiti, as though it's a short vowel. On line 3, we have udkhulu. That's a fi'l amr that we just saw in the previous lesson, right? That's a long vowel, udkhulu, followed by Hamzatul Wasl. That means we're going to pronounce it how? Now we're going to pronounce it udkhulul. Not udkhulul masjid. Udkhulul masjid. Udkhulul masjid. Enter the masjid. And then on line 4 on the next page, we have ishrabi, that's a long vowel, followed by Hamzatul Wasl. The Hamzatul Wasl is not written on this alif lam, but we know that it's Hamzatul Wasl, right? Ishrabi, followed by Hamzatul Wasl, is going to be pronounced Naam. It's going to be pronounced Ishrabil. Ishrabil, as though it's a short vowel. Ishrabil ma'a. Ishrabil ma'a. Okay, let's look at the explanation just briefly for these particular words. These are examples. These are examples. Okay, it says in the notes for lesson 53. Lesson 53 in our textbook is on page 98 and 99. Whenever any long vowel, whether it is as a fatha followed by alif, or a kasra followed by ya, or a dhamma followed by waw, any long vowel, whenever it's followed by hamzatul wasl, the long vowel is shortened in pronunciation. In addition to the hamzatul wasl being dropped in pronunciation, also, we're making a note here, right? Not only are you going to make the long vowel short, but you're not going to pronounce the hamzatul wasl. Because in this case, hamzatul wasl, put it there, inshallah. In this case, hamzatul wasl is telling us to connect what's before it to what's after it. It's telling us to connect what's before it to what's after it. Okay, just sit it there. So we don't disturb the class. The first example, examples of elongation with fatha. Remember that fatha can be elongated by alif mamduda or alif maqsura that we had in lesson 44 and 45 and 46 and 47. Okay? So we give you two examples. One where the fatha is elongated by alif mamduda, the straight up and down alif that looks like a number one. And the second example, the fatha is being elongated by alif maqsura, which looks like a ya without its two dots. The first example is in, like they gave us in the book, ma ismuka became masmuka. Not masmuka. The second example with alif maqsura, baka ba fatha. Kaf fatha, alif maqsura. That's a long vowel. Baka ibni. But how are we going to pronounce it? Bakab. Bakabni. Not bakabni. Okay? Two. Examples of elongation with kasra are in lines 2 and 4 of the textbook. The first example they gave us is fi al-bayti. But we're not going to pronounce it fi al-bayti. We're going to pronounce it how? Fil-bayti. The next example they gave us is in line 4, ishrabi al-ma'a. Okay, this is a long vowel followed by hamzatul wasl. So we're not going to pronounce it ishrabi al-ma'a. We're going to pronounce it ishrabi al-ma'a. The third example is an elongation of dhamma. This is in line 3, udkhulul masjid. Okay, even though it should be written as udkhulul, even though it's written as a long vowel, udkhulu, but we're not going to pronounce the long vowel, udkhulul masjid. How are we going to pronounce it? Udkhulul masjid. Note, hamzatul wasl is more commonly found in words that begin with the definite article alif lam, as in lines 2, 3, and 4. It's most commonly found in words that begin with the definite article alif lam. However, it may also be found in words that begin with hamzatul wasl, due to their first letter originally having a sukoon, as in line 1, yani ismuka or ibni. So there are lots of words that originally begin with sukoon, and for that reason they add hamzatul wasl. If any of those words, whether they are nouns or verbs, are preceded by a long vowel, the long vowel is going to be pronounced how? How is the long vowel going to be pronounced?
Short.
As a short vowel. Any question? Okay, we still have 1 minute, about 10 minutes left. Okay, let's stop here. As I said last week, inshallah, I'm expecting to travel in the coming week or in 2 weeks from now, very soon. So that's why I wanted to finish this lesson today, so that we finish this book. May Allah reward you all for being patient. MashaAllah, there were more people that started with you that are not here today. They didn't make it. But Allah has given you success. Tawfiq is only from Allah. Believe me. Remember, always remind yourself that anything you intend to do of good, ask Allah's help. You will never be successful in anything at all except with the help of Allah. Anything of good that you want to do, ask Allah's help. Allah is the one who grants success. The success is with Allah alone. It's not because you're so intelligent or you're so smart or you're so great or something. Rather, only Allah is great. Only Allah is great. And Allah is the one who does al-fa'alul lima yurid. He's the one who does whatever He wills.